On the show today, we have CU Next Gen's very own Haley Harrison and Nicole Williams talking about no-code app development and MRM, how to make the day-to-day for your staff much easier, and my, was I educated in this interview, so check it out. Yeah, welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have the ladies from CU Next Gen. Right next to me, we have Nicole Williams. Nicole, how are you?
I am fine, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. And then right below us is Haley Harrison. Haley, how are you doing today?
Pretty awesome. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. So, I'm glad you guys are here today because we're talking about no code apps, which is going to be an education for me for sure, because I am not up on this at all. So I'm really looking forward to the education here from you two. So it's, and the whole thing is going to be entitled No Code Development and MRM, how to make the day to day for your staff easier. And boy, don't we all need that in any industry we're in right now? Goodness gracious. So Nicole, I'm going to start with you on the first question, and it's going to be the most obvious one of all. So what are no-code apps? Can you explain this real quick for us?
Yes, absolutely. So no-code apps are application development platforms that rely on fast development techniques such as visual drag and drop tools, integrated versioning, and they're just configuration-based, so they don't require that software developer skill set to actually change a code file and make any sort of change. It's more of a super user skill set. So CU Next Gen's no-code platform is called AppForms and is in production today at credit union clients across the United States. Awesome. And our MRM platform is actually built on our no-code platform.
Okay.
So no-code apps are much faster than traditional coding. And I have a software development background. And the first time I heard it, and again, hand coding background, and the first time I heard no-code, I was like, what? You know, I was very skeptical, but I've seen it and I believe in it now.
Okay.
So because they're faster, they enable this rapid application development and delivery with much less risk. So since the changes are maintained as configuration metadata, in a database, not again code files, it's in a database. Pushing a change in a no-code platform is a lot less riskier than, you know, physically coding, pushing a file code change on a deployment on a web server.
Yeah.
So there's essentially no risk of downtime due to some sort of a deployment error. You missed a file, you missed a DLL, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So and additionally, rolling back a change is built right into the platform. So if an update does need to be reverted back for any sort of reason, there's no need to restore a database backup file or a server snapshot. It's just as easy as clicking, you know, the rollback button right in our no-code platform.
Okay. And it sounds, go ahead. It looks like you have more to say.
Sorry. It's a big topic. So yeah.
Okay,
they also scale really effortlessly to ensure peak performance. So again, you know, whether it's your internal users, whether it's externally facing the members, you know, 500,000 members, no problem. So our platform runs on widely available and supported Windows Server operating systems and Microsoft SQL Server stack, which can be really expanded horizontally to ensure not only scalability, but also redundancy in some sort of a you know, disaster recovery situation, which is always something good to plan for.
Oh yeah.
No, there's one other thing that's really important.
Okay.
It is future-proof. So everyone knows, upgrading a piece of software, there's outage time. It's on the weekend. It's the middle of the night. Your IT team is, you know, working with a vendor and there's risk there because it could go wrong. And then when you open the next day and members are waking up and trying to use a system, it's down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the best parts about our platform is that you don't have to worry about that. And the best analogy that we've come up internally with is Microsoft Excel.
Okay.
So you could take an Excel file from Excel 97 and open it today in Excel 2019 without any compatibility problems, even though the version of Microsoft 97 is over 20 years older. And the no-code platform is the same way. It's this underlying architecture, so you can take any application developed on the platform and it'll work despite of whatever version you're on.
Wow.
So that's huge in terms of, you know, performance and sustainability, and again, less risk for application updates.
Oh my gosh. And it sounds like you may have answered my second question I was going to ask you. So how do they work to help solve today's programming issues? It sounds like you kind of answered that one too a little bit. Is there anything else to add there?
There's a lot. So how they work is, again, the traditional method of hand coding is really slow to market. Been there, done that. I've been part of those teams. I've even been on projects where business needs and the direction changes so quickly that the project you're working on is now obsolete or no longer applies. And that's just because that coding effort just takes a long time. You have to, you know, start from the scratch and write the code. So with the no-code development platform, credit unions can enjoy not only this like crazy increased speed to market, but it also allows them to freely innovate and maintain this competitive posture because they can respond more quickly to member feedback. And it also reduces bugs, which is also pretty nice.
Yeah, that's,
you know, going to be more reliable. Exactly. So to explain exactly how it works, we have to first understand what an enterprise application is. So at CU NextGen, we define enterprise applications as basically a set of forms that interact with data somehow, whether it's updating, reading data, writing data. Those forms interact with data, and then they have the ability to embed business logic on top of it. So this is really the basis for any piece of software. It's user screens that are interacting with data. So with that in mind, the process of building functionality in the no-code platform is just three steps then. It is one, designing the user interface, and the user engagement, you know, the UI experience that you want. And then the second item is connecting to the data sources, whether that's databases, you know, we support many different versions of databases or any sort of API of a third party. And then the last step is embedding your business logic, the rules that, you know, the guardrails in place, how do you want the form to behave? So that was the first part, how do they work? So the second part of your question is how do they solve today's programming issues? And yeah, I touched on that a little bit, but there's a few more things I wanted to point out. I really think the real winners of the whole no-code development movement really is the credit union members. So we have this Amazon effect going on for the last few years where everyone's conditioned to expect top-tier software delivery with robust real-time everything, communication. I just got an Amazon delivery and, you know, I get the notification right on my Alexa, right on my phone, like within two seconds of them dropping it off of my doorstep.
Amazing.
And it's, you know, so this is like what folks are conditioned to expect today. But unfortunately, credit unions do not have a good reputation when it comes to technology. And almost all of them, especially smaller credit unions, are beholden to their vendors and their vendors' roadmaps of when new feature functionality is going to be included in their next software upgrade. They are stuck. I have been there when I was at my credit union. That's incredibly frustrating. So as a credit union leader, I and others around the, you know, as the credit unions all over, they find themselves getting in line for months, just or sometimes even years with vendors as, you know, when they're requesting customizations to their software. So and then you have other vendors that actually have a voting system for new functionality. So there's not even a guarantee that your requested feature will even be in the next release. So it's a really frustrating position to be in. So the biggest benefit is no code applications remove the dependency on the vendor and allow credit unions to customize their platforms quickly with just that super user skill set. Developers can do it too, but you can have a super user skill set doing it, you know, to help, you know, their software meet their needs of their employees and their members very quickly. So that's like the primary value proposition that no code platforms bring.
Before I get to you, Haley, Nicole, one more quick question. Is this kind of because there's so many apps out there and everyone has an app. Is this kind of the new wave of app development now? Is this, I mean, again, pardon my ignorance, but here, but this is sounds like too good to be true almost.
You know, it's kind of like a secret up until the last few years. Our app forms platform has been around since 2009. But now, right now there's other vendors, including Amazon, that are launching their own no code or low code platforms. Ours is, again, we actually have software made for credit unions running on site at credit union state built on our own platform. So it's our own intellectual property. It's our own software that we use and our own, you know, team members that know it inside and out to build the software. But it is, to answer your question, Mike, it has been picking up more steam and becoming more known in the industry in the last few years.
Yeah. Cause this is making me say, wow, multiple times. And especially as a programmer, you guys are just going, wow, every second of the day. Good grief. All right, Haley, I'm going to come to you now. So what are some of the benefits of no-code apps to credit unions? Because we want to connect the dots here. And how does it make the day-to-day for credit union staff easier?
Yeah, I think, you know, to me, I think the number one thing that really resonates with me is it allows you to keep your voice regardless of technology. And I think that that's something, you know, for years, I've kind of always had these roles that straddled both the line of business and the IT side of life. And, you know, we're often in that situation where it's like, you know, hey, my core works like this. This is how I do my account relationships. It's parent to child. It's, you know, and guess what? That doesn't fit in this vendor that I really wanted, right? So this isn't necessarily the same, the best merriment, but I'm going to go ahead and try anyway. Okay. With no code, that's no longer a thing. What you need can be delivered. So, you know, you're not dealing with that typical software platform where, you know, this button, I don't need this button. I really need a button like this, but I can't build it, so I'm out, okay, right? No code gets rid of that. It allows you to align your voice and how you want to serve your members with the technology to back it. So the technology is the second part, not the first part. Okay. Normally it is, this is the vendor, this is how it works. Now try to push yourself in that box. What we do is we ask, what box do you want? What box do you need? Okay, now let me build your box, right? Instead of the more typical, here's what it is, now go ahead and try to kind of wiggle your way in. And even though it's not the best fit, you know, you'll kind of have to go with it. And I think that's part of it that really is the, that resonates the most with me, that I had the most troubles with previously is, you know, we were looking at a wire system and I really wanted three different checks on different amounts. And I wanted to go here and there. And then I wanted there to be a status and that wasn't available in that vendor. It just wouldn't work with the way that we had things set up. So I had no option. I couldn't use that functionality, right? So the technology changed my voice. It changed how our business model was going to work. And I didn't like that very much. No code gets rid of it. And I think that how that makes it better for staff day to day is you're not working because of the way technology is making you, you're working because of the most effective way to do it. And the technology is supporting you in doing that.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like flipping it on its head a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. What's the most efficient way to get your job done? It's XYZ. Okay. Let's build XYZ.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. This, I mean, and I hate to simplify it here, but I'm, as you guys are talking, I'm thinking about the transition, you know, back in the day, only people that knew HTML could build websites, but that progressed to where, you know, then they became like the drag and drop type of stuff. And again, I hate to simplify it. I know it's much more complicated this, but this is kind of what I'm thinking is like, it's almost kind of like that movement where HTML, then it went to the drag and drop to where, you know, most people could do it, you know, or almost everybody could do it. So is that kind of a...
We love the simplification because that's actually an internal, I'm going to say something and Nicole's immediately going to smile because it's a comment that we make all the time. If you can't explain something at a 10-year-old level, we're not quite sure you know it. Like, and we love that. We love the oversimplification in the sense of make it, you know, make it easy. Make it easy to understand.
Well, it should be.
You know, I think that there are definitely certain jobs that there should be, kind of a black box too, right? Like, I don't really think explaining cardiac surgery is easy and I don't think it's ever going to be, right? There's a lot of very difficult, intricate steps to that.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that. But everything else, you know, we really should be able to explain it kind of in this step-by-step process. Outside of my normal 9-to-5 job, I'm actually a college professor. And that is a big part of doing that job that I've always pushed myself to is how do I explain this very clearly? You know, how do I give real world examples? I teach economics and statistics. So exactly the most loved topics always. But, you know, how do you explain it in a very easy, succinct way? Yeah. And we think that's so important. And that's something that we really strive on our side to bring to our credit unions is I don't want to bring you a black box of technology. I want to bring you this beautiful rainbow unicorn box that we get to open up and you get to experience with us.
And Nicole, did you have anything to add on this one before I get to your next question?
Oh, yes. Just, you know, my topic's not, or my addition's not as fun as Haley's, but you know, going back to a little bit more of the technical side of the no-code platform, you know, cybersecurity it's a huge benefit the no-code platform brings for credit unions.
Yeah,
and the information security in general is something the NCUA has been really hyper-focused on going back the last three-ish years. And now protecting, you know, that member data is more critical than ever. So with the no-code platform in general, the best practices for cybersecurity are inherited within every form that's created as part of the platform. So again, whether it's that developer or that super user skill set, they don't have to remember to use those best practices for cybersecurity because they're, you know, and when I say best practices, things like sanitizing user input, or, you know, there's a way you can structure your database query so they can't, you can't have injection from, you know, some sort of malicious you know, crawler or bot on your web page. They're inherently built into the no-code platform. So if in so there you go. I mean, it just simplifies like the easy button for development, and also it's more secure. And similarly, going back to, you know, if a change is deployed that you later found, oh, it did introduce some sort of risk or vulnerability that no one thought of, rolling back that change is super easy. Again, the click of a button. Okay. So again, cybersecurity is just another technical benefit in addition to, you can build it to meet your processes. You don't have to, like Haley said, it's not like fitting that square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, that security aspect of it is huge as well. So, hey, yes. Nicole, I'm going to stick with you on this one as well. Can you share a couple of best practices or use it from credit unions?
Yes.
Got a couple examples for us?
Yes, we do. So, yeah, no code development's fast. We've already talked about that. So we find a lot of credit unions have to change their whole development methodology to keep up, or actually invent one again if they never have done it and they've always had a vendor do some sort of, you know, wet application development for them. So, you know, one of the best practices I always say is, hey, agile project methodology, like Scrum, those tend to go really well with no code development. And, you know, you could get a lot of innovation, you know, accomplished within a sprint, because it's so easy and quick to and fast to market to innovate. So another best practice that I always recommend is, it's really, you know, it is, you can make this change in literally a matter of seconds, but it's still important to maintain proper change management and separation of duties. So, you know, just because, you know, it's not the same traditional hand coding methodology, you still have to have that formal change control process, including that, you know, quality assurance testing, the sign off, and the, you know, the approved deployment window, that should all still be in place. Again, that's the stuff I know the NCUA looks for when they come knocking for your audit. And one last thing I could think of off the top of my head is, again, going back to that disaster recovery setup. So quite oftentimes we find that when clients use, you know, they either stand up any of our software or they have app forms and they're using it to produce, you know, some sort of application or even our workflows, they quickly will become mission critical to their organization. And sometimes that disaster recovery or business continuity plan is kind of an afterthought because there's so much excitement about, look at these new tools. So that's just another best practice that I always, you know, when I speak to new clients, is, hey, think about what you want your DR setup to be, what your recovery time objective and recovery point objective for your data loss, you know, or your recovery time are. So again, those are my top three right there.
Okay. Fantastic.
I would say too, you know,
yeah, go ahead, Haley.
I was gonna say, from the line of business side, you know, there's something, again, it's one of our like little tag phrases. I think I'm gonna start make a book of them. But you know, we always say, don't think of how something's going to be done. Don't think of why, or sorry, think of why, not how. So like, why do you want something done? What is it? What do you need? Don't worry about the how. We'll deal with that in the sense of, you know, the no code platform will kind of will deal with how that can work. But from a line of business side, you know, again, I kind of joked earlier that I was always in these shadow IT roles. And I think one of the reasons that that ever existed was because there needed to be this connection where the line of business knew what they wanted, right? They knew the theory. But then they had to know enough about how to build the model, if you will, to know kind of how to say what to start and stop, right? That, I think, has been a thing for years where you can kind of speak both sides enough to then get something done. We try really hard to kind of break that in a way of don't worry about an idea. If you really need something, don't worry about, oh, but there's this technical part that I just don't think, don't do that to yourselves.
Okay.
Take the shackles off your brain, right? What do you want? What do you really need? And then we'll figure out the how. You know, we'll look at it and rip it apart and break it down. And I think, you know, Nicole mentioned it really well. Well, there is kind of that agile project management, and how do you become really innovative, right? And part of that innovation is you have to let go what you've previously assumed to be fact. You have to look at that and say, okay, what's no longer maybe the same parameters? How's the game changed?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we really, you know, love to experience with our clients, is this new kind of conversation of, what do you want? What do you want? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get to have those really fun conversations. We're like, well, I want this, but it can't happen. It's never been able to happen for X, Y, Z. And then we get this great time to go, we can do that now.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of what the platform really allows for. And it's amazing to get to experience it.
Yeah, I am so intrigued. Oh my gosh. I have like a million questions, but we only have so much time. So what are you, Haley, I'm going to stick with you on this one. So what are your goals in this area to help credit unions here? Because it sounds like you're almost like empowering them with this.
You took the word out of my mouth.
Oh.
Yes. No, that's amazing. No, I want you to. I love it. I love people are just that, you know, in sync. That's exactly it. I want to empower them. And Nicole wants to empower them. See You Next Gen wants to empower them. That's exactly what we want to do. I kind of joke and say, we want to take the shackles off, right? Take those shackles of technology off. You know, and find again, what do you want to do? How do you want to serve your members? And then we want to make that possible. You know, I think that's really exciting for us in a lot of ways. Again, everybody on our side, you know, from CU Next Gen has a financial institution background. So we've all kind of lived this, breathed this, struggled through it. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I'm an economist. So I really care about the financial institutions and what they bring to the entire economy and how they set up the structure and how they support it. And I want everybody, you know, as part of the economy to understand how that works and to be served the best and to not, you know, hey, I want to go buy a car. I want to go buy a house. Don't struggle so much about the loan side of it of like, oh gosh, I've got to do this and this and this. And it's a game. Like just go be part of the economy and go serve yourself and, you know, do the best that you can do. And that's best for everybody. And that's a big part of the credit union industry that I love being a part of is that is their mission. It is their mission to be there for people and support them in their financial literacy and understand and empower them. And, you know, it is that feeling of they really are there to support you and walk through life with you. So we want to be the exact same for them on the vendor side. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I think, really our goal. Empower them and take the shackles off.
Yeah.
And what can we provide for them that was previously a closed door that now we get to just break down the door and forget that. Take out the whole wall. Rebuild the structure.
Yes.
Wow. So where can we find out more about No Code Apps for Credit Unions? Obviously, go to your site, CU Next Gen.
CU Next Gen. CU Next Gen has all the contact information for Nicole and myself. You know, we've got Ken Zimmer, our CEO. You can go to CU Insight has a really cool article that we did called Crack the Code.
Okay.
And that's really interesting. That's a great read. Again, our website has a support box that you could always send inquiries to. You can also find our LinkedIn information, Nicole's and myself. You can always send us an email. We love to talk to people.
Okay.
So if you just want to set up a discovery call, even if it's just to understand, Nicole and I will talk people's ears off about this. We're both very passionate. So there's a lot of ways to do that.
Well, we'll put all those links in the show notes so people can get right to it. So, oh my gosh. So, I mean, again, I am thoroughly intrigued here by this. And my last question here, and Nicole, I'll start with you. And is there anything else here to wrap up? Because I'm actually thinking, how does this work with the core? Is it core agnostic or is it that's what I'm kind of thinking about here. And you don't have to answer it, or you can if you want, or you don't have to go too deep in the weeds here, but I'm just like, how does that work with the core?
I could give a very long answer, but I'll keep it short.
Okay.
Yes, it is core agnostic. So again, earlier when I mentioned any data source that can hit a database directly, we can connect to any APIs. And a lot of the newer cores now have APIs that they expose where you can readily access, read, and update data. So that's actually one of the powers of the platform.
Right on. That's probably a big comfort to a lot of credit unions out there who are shopping around stuff. So good stuff. Haley, anything else to add from your end as well?
You know, I think that something that's really interesting about our MRM platform, I mean, again, it's a little, obviously no code is the base of that, but there's also a really fun thing that we have available to us, which is in homegrown RPA system. And that is definitely not standard. So that is really exciting because to Nicole's point, you know, I mean, we've got these no codes that can call APIs and kind of go in and get to this database. But, you know, you're always going to have those one-offs of systems that either, you know, you don't have an API for, or it's too expensive to have the API for, or the data is just not easy to get to. Right. And that I think has precluded a lot of things in the technological world for, I don't know, Nicole, what would you say, the past 10, 15 years, probably.
Well, absolutely.
Easily. And so what we have that's really interesting, and actually it's what made, when I first heard about CU Next Gen, me like turn my head, was this homegrown RPA solution. So my previous life, I did a lot with kind of the RPA space and I knew a lot about it.
Yeah.
And learning that there's kind of this powerhouse, right, where if all else fails, we'll go use these bots to help us support the no code as well. So again, you kick down yet another door where if you didn't have an API, if you couldn't do that, if you couldn't get to the data, okay, we'll use an RPA bot and we'll just go through the front door. We're just going to walk in just like a user and pull that data out and still support you in that way.
Oh my
God. Again, I think that's one thing I would add is just there's a lot of really fun things that we're able to do, and it's exciting to be able to bring that to the credit unions.
Wow. What a way to round out 2021. Oh my gosh. You learn something new every day, and I certainly learned something new here. So again, I am really intrigued and want to know more, and really look forward to having you guys back on, because I'd love to have like a credit union come on too and share their experience working with you guys and how they benefited from it. So let's put that on the books for 2022. Cause I would love to find out. I'd love to get their perspective as well. So yeah, good stuff here, guys. I'm gonna let you get back to work. I don't want to monopolize your time too much, but thank you so much for hanging out with us for a few minutes and educating us on no code apps. This is really cool stuff.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Yeah.